What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We're on episode 98, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. It is Sunday, and I'm here with Derek, as always. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not a whole lot. How you doing, Bob?
You sound tired.
Well, it's late on a Sunday for me.
It is late on a Sunday. That's my fault. I got back late for my day trip. So we're going to roll right into stuff because Derek needs to get to sleep. So we'll start with our reviews this week. And I took a look at three pretty cool products. The first one is MSI's Z270 SLI Plus. And this comes from MSI's kind of like their Pro Series range. And basically, this is your Z270 motherboard without all the flash, without all the RGBs, without all the extra stuff that you don't need for a lot of times. A lot of Z270 motherboards cake on things that you're just never going to use. And, you know, this board, for what it's worth, actually has everything that you're going to need in the Z270 platform. And it comes in at a really good price. It's $133. Which is very inexpensive to get into the Z270 platform. Sorry, and it literally has everything you're gonna want. It has dual M.2 slots, support for two-way graphics, USB 3.1 support. I mean, those are pretty much like the main things you're gonna want in the Z270 platform. It has a pretty good audio solution as well as good LAN chip. So, you know, unless you're doing something crazy, like you want the best gaming networking out there, or you want like the best gaming sound out there, this board does it all, and it does it all for $133, which is really good. You know, it's not overly flashy like you see with a lot of high-end Z270 boards. Again, no RGB LEDs, no crazy, you know, armor on it or anything like that. It's just your basic Z270 board, and I think that it does its job. You know, if you're trying to get into Z270 in a lower price range, this is a great board to do it with, and it will give you everything that you want. So I would definitely approve it, and I'm pretty sure I gave it our good value award.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said,
how was it on the power delivery side?
It has a I forget how many phase. I have to look back at my review.
Nine phase.
Yeah, that's pretty between like seven
that's
and nine.
Terrible.
Yeah, is pretty standard. Like higher end boards will be like 13 to 16, but that gets on the really high side. For Z270, you really don't need much more than, you know, 10 phase would be
actually,
like,
yeah, it's a 10 phase actually.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah. So then that's a 10 phase is fine for Z270 really. Anything above that. I mean, I just reviewed a top-end board from EVGA, and it had a 13-phase, so it's not like, you know, there's a huge difference. Like, you're not seeing boards in this class with, like, crazy, like, 22-phase, you know what I mean? Like, you don't see that anymore, because it's kind of redundant, really.
So it makes it more stable power, though.
It does, but then it also brings that board to, like, $300-$400.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what this is. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it did overclocking really well. It did everything that I'd wanted to do, and it does it at a low price point. Again, you don't get all the flash and all the kind of, you know, crazy gaming features or super high end audio or anything like that. But you do get good stuff that's going to get the job done, and it's going to be everything that you want. And a lot of times, a lot of people are like, "Oh, I want this super high end motherboard," but then they don't make use of what it does, you know.
Probably 90% of the time they don't use most of the features.
Yeah, like this board only has one Ethernet port. Most people I know don't use the dual Ethernet port on their board anyways. You know, so this is made to save you money. So it works really well, and it does everything that you're going to want it to do. There's really not that much bad to say about it, you know.
Yeah. And
so, yeah,
a lot of the flash is kind of unnecessary.
Yes, that does not speed up your computer.
No.
The amount of RGB LEDs on your PC doesn't make it faster.
most cases too, you just aren't gonna see it either.
Yeah, that's true.
It's cool to have. You know, it's a fun thing to, you know, put in your little your status bar on whatever forum you're on or whatever, so you have a cool board. But most of the time, it doesn't really do much for you.
No, it does not. So I think this is a great board at a great price. Definitely check out our review because it's very inexpensive. A little over $100, $133 yeah. bucks on Amazon. So
it can really, really save you a lot of money.
Yeah.
What LEDs does it have? Does it see it has Mystic
it does have controls? It does have white LEDs around the edges, which actually are pretty bright, which okay. is nice. And you can control those. And it does have a single RGB header. So if okay. you did want to add some extra light inside your system, you can go ahead and do that as well. So
seems you know? Like, yeah, this probably is probably one of the best value boards you could buy right now. What do you think, MSI, yeah, not necessarily the strongest reputation for longevity and dependability. Do you think that they're past that?
I think they're obviously considered in the top three, right?
So yeah, but if there was ever one that was going to fail on you, regardless, I mean, they've always had, like, a large market share, but MSI was, like, if one was going to fail, it was going to be an MSI board.
Yeah, I mean, in my testing, and I've used MSI boards for, you know, for test systems and things, yeah. I haven't had any issues. And it's, you know, obviously with the time I had with a board, I can't say, oh, it's not, you know, not going to fail. Yeah. You know, so, and we, you know, I can't say it a year
general,
later.
Do you think that they're... They've really worked to step their image up quite a bit in recent years. So do you think that they're past that?
Yeah, I think they're using quality components. They're adding a lot of features and things like that they didn't have in the past. And, you know, ever since they started their military class components and things like that, to really, obviously they're competing with other brands, but at the same time, they're giving you a good value product and a product that, you know, again, I can't say because I didn't have the board for, you know, that long, but it's a board that you're going to buy that you shouldn't have to worry about dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say something else in your system would go before this board would.
Cool.
So that brings us to the Giel Evo Forza DDR4 2400 32 gigabyte memory kit. And this is Giel's Evo Forza brand. In it, by the name, you can guess, it's kind of themed like a car type deal with the colors. It's yellow and black with a black PCB, which I think these are beautiful. This is like beautiful looking memory. It looks really, really good, but that's kind of where it stops. To start, the heat spreader is very thin aluminum, and because it's big, when you try to install it in your system, I actually bent one of them.
I've never done that.
Yeah, I've never had that issue. Also, this is the only memory that I've ever tested in the DDR4 platform that would not let me change its settings and run properly.
What do you mean? Like it just locked up?
So I would save the settings. I would change timings, or I would change the speed. And when I changed it, like I would set the timings to what I want them to be, and then I would change the speed.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not run at my timings. It would run at a different set of timings. It would never like let
it would
me
never
change
take the timings.
It would never take the timings. It would never, if I just wanted to bump it up, like bump up the, I'd have the XMP profile enabled, and mm-hmm. then I would just bump up the frequency. So mm-hmm. that's just like a basic overclock. That's how you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you enable your, if you
enable back to the XMP, the stock XMP profile, then.
Wait, what?
It would just like revert back to the stock XMP profile then?
No, which is crazy. So what it would do is I would have it set on its stock XMP. Yeah. Up the frequency, so instead mm-hmm. of running at 24, I'd run at 26.
Yeah.
You know? And I would expect, because I'm running the XMP profile, I'd run that same timings. Nope. It would up the timings.
Oh.
I don't know what the deal was. I tried to set everything manually. It wouldn't work. I tried to set the exact XMP profile manually. Wouldn't work.
So it was automatically loosening the timings.
Yes. Hmm. Which is very disappointing. So technically I could overclock this. I went up to 26, 28, but it was horrible. Like the timings were horrible. So it's not even worth the overclock.
No, it would have been interesting to see some testing.
Yeah.
To see what the resulting speed comparisons were. Because I imagine you were gaining nothing or even losing speed.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it. So it was kind of disappointing because I think this is beautiful memory. I think it looks cool. I think that it definitely fits in a certain genre of people building systems with the colors scheme that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful memory, but it's just either the ICs are like just not good quality, and like that heat spreader really disappointed me.
There's nothing to it. It's not really doing anything.
Yeah, it's not doing that much. The thing is too, is like if you get a kit that's running at 2400 megahertz, you expect to go up to at least 3000 with DDR4. And that the fact that I couldn't move this kit at all really without the timings being crazy loose, it just
some extremely low bend memory.
Yeah, it just didn't do it.
How
for
much
me.
Are these?
They're not even selling them anymore, which is kind of weird. I found
they wanted you to review.
Yeah, so I think that they kind of might have went back to the drawing board on this. Although the Geo website hasn't been updated since, like, I can't tell you when, so. I think that
maybe Geo isn't selling stuff anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was disappointing. When you get a piece of hardware that looks really good, and then it performs not up to expectation, it's disappointing.
Of course. You
know. So I was kind of bummed out about that.
I kind of actually take that as, like, a warning flag. When things almost look too good, it's usually there's a performance, you know.
Yeah, and that's what,
or it's giving up.
Sometimes. We always try to warn people, like, yeah, certain memory is super expensive. Yeah, certain power supplies are more expensive, but you know when you're buying that, it's quality.
Yeah.
And that's,
most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, most of the time. Obviously, do your research, read reviews, but we know the top end brands in the certain categories, and you know if you're buying a product from them, it's typically going to last. It's typically going to be good. You're not going to be disappointed. So, this time we're here to warn you that this memory specifically
probably want to avoid it.
Yeah. Now the Geo, the super loose memory that I reviewed maybe last month, loved it. Looked good, performed good, no problems. So, cool. I don't know what they were thinking with this. And again. It could have just been my kit, but it's highly unlikely.
That's far too strong of a response for it to just be your kit.
Yeah, so steer clear of these. The other Geo memory that I've tested is good. So if you're looking at Geo, the super loose, and then I have, what other one though? I have another one here that I have to review, so we'll be checking that one out here soon. So I'll let you know if that one's good. And then finally, we have a super low-end product, which I actually like. Performance is but it's a $24 Air CPU cooler. So this is very inexpensive. And the whole thing, this is the Sith Baiko, Baco, I don't know how you would say it. Baiko?
yeah. Fake? Nope.
Yeah, so it is a small little tower cooler with a 92mm fan on it. Made to either replace, or if you're not doing a lot with your PC, or if you're running a Core i3 or Core i5, this could cool your system. And it's very quiet. It's obviously not putting on a lot of power or anything like that. The 92mm fan doesn't run all that fast either. And it does an okay job for its price range. And again, there are other coolers in this form factor that are like $40 that will serve you much better. Okay. But if you're running a Core i3 or Core i5, this would work. I would not recommend this for Core i7 just because it's not going to give you the performance that you'd want.
That's a little disappointing.
Yeah. Again, it does have those push pins, which are like I hate with a passion, as the mounting system. But again, it's a $24 cooler, so you don't expect it to have like an in-depth Intel mounting system, really.
Yeah. This is like on the, what is the Cooler Master? Hyper 212 Evo?
Yeah, it's like the Hyper
212 Plus.
Yeah, and I think Plus. this is even smaller than that, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think that one has the 120mm fan, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That's not actually a small cooler. It's just entry level.
Yeah. So this is your entry level cooler. Again, this could be great for like a system integrator building like more kind of like lower end PCs that aren't really going to get hot. Again, Core i3, Core i5.
Yeah.
But it's a cool little cooler. It's cool to see the performance, you know, when you get down into something really low like this. That kind of made the review interesting. So, but if you're looking at that price range, this will get the job done. And I would assume it's going to do better than the Intel cooler, and it's going to be quieter than the Intel cooler as well. So,
I hope so. It's hard not to be better.
Yeah.
Not a lot worse.
Yeah. So those were our three reviews this week. So some cool stuff. And then we have Case Mod Friday, which I always say is my favorite part of the site, but it really is. It is where we feature a build or mod that's been done in the community. And this one, you know, for like the last, I don't know how long, we've always been featuring these builds from these insane modders and these people who get commissioned to do mods. And this is a home built mod from this guy, and he did a really cool wall PC. And it's not even a new, it's not even like newer components. It's called, the build's called Red Albino, and the it's not all that interesting, right? It's not all that intricate. The reason I liked it is, one, we haven't seen a whole lot of wall PCs recently, and two, I think the light traces are just cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the whole build.
Yeah, so basically what he's done is he has, basically, it almost looks like a tabletop that he's mounted to his wall, and he has all of his PC components spread out on it, and then he has all the wires running behind it, so you can't see them, but he has these light, these red light traces that kind of look like traces in a circuit board, like, that connect all of the hardware. I guess that's the best way to explain it.
Yeah, yeah, they're just, like, they're flush-mounted with the top, it looks like, and... It might even just be acrylic strips put in there.
Yeah, it could be.
Or is the whole thing even... Actually, it might be that the whole thing is acrylic, and then he covered up the other pieces with this, like, looks like a gray carbon fiber.
Yeah, you actually could be
correct. One way or the other. Yeah,
yeah. And it's, again, it's not an all that difficult build, but I just think it looks cool. I think it'd be kind of cool, like, to wake up in the morning, hit the power button, have all that turn on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Like, cool. The gauges, I don't know if... what they represent. His pictures aren't the greatest.
Yeah, his pictures, that was kind of disappointed about that. I believe the gauges, one is like volts or how much power the system's using. Yeah,
I think
using.
So. That would make sense.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the other one is. But cool stuff there. It's always good to see really cool mods. Just like, you know, again, we feature all these like modders. So that's like their job is to be a modder. But it's really cool to see people going out and doing this on their own. And it shows you that you can build something really cool by yourself. You don't need to be this high-end modder to do something that's going to look great. So
no, of course not.
Yeah, really, really cool. So definitely check that out. And as I always say, we have a full gallery of all of our case mods that we featured on Case Mod Friday, so you can go in there and check all of those out. And that brings us to news. And this week, the fastest GTX 1080 Ti was announced by KFA2. And it is the Hall of Fame 8-pack edition, built in conjunction with 8-pack, who is a pretty well-known modder, or not modder, overclocker. And this is a revision of that card we talked about, was it 2 weeks ago, that has the LCD display on the side?
Oh, yeah.
This one, obviously, is a little bit different. Completely custom design, triple fan, triple slot cooler. It runs at a base clock of 1645 megahertz and boosts up to 1759 megahertz. And apparently, all of the GPUs that are being used are like cherry picked. You know, they're the best ones out there, so they don't expect to sell. Like, this isn't something that's gonna be crazy mass produced. Like, there's only gonna be so many.
Well, it's, what is it, $1,200?
Yeah, it's around $1,200 US. So it's
not gonna probably push too many of these.
Yeah, super premium product.
It's massive too.
Triple 8-pin eight pin power connector on there. So definitely putting a lot of juice into this as well. It looks cool though, I have to say.
Yeah. If you're into the massively air cooled,
yeah, GPU. I know you would love to just see it just water block this.
Yeah,
especially if you're running that high of clock speeds, I think you'd want to.
Yeah, I mean, for 24/7, I think this thing is gonna make a lot of noise regardless of how advanced the cooling is. It's just gonna, I mean, if you're gonna use it, if you're gonna get it, your $1,200 worth, you're gonna want to overclock this thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is that you're probably gonna. Yeah, I think you're not the fan of the Hall of Fame design, are you? The white PCB and all that.
Oh, I like the white PCB.
Okay.
Of course.
I love these cards. They're like one of my favorites.
I don't like massive air coolers.
Yeah.
They just don't do it for me. It's just like this block of space taken up for like almost no reason, it seems like.
That is true. I can definitely see where you're coming from.
I'm a water cooler.
Yeah. But it is the so far the fastest GTX 1080 to be announced. Pretty cool. And I'll take two KFA two. You can send them to me. So thank you.
And I'm on down.
Yeah.
Are these available in the US?
So KFA two is the European version of Galaxy. Okay. It's so weird. So there's Galaxy, there's Galax, and there's KFA two.
Yeah.
All three of those represent different regions. Galaxy is the China region. Galax, I don't know where that's at, and I think KFA two is the UK region. So I'm not sure.
Okay. Let's see. There's some KFA 2 products on Amazon, so
yeah. So maybe KFA 2 is the U.S. European. I don't know.
Well, they just Amazon can kind of blur the lines, though.
That is true. So yeah, you don't know.
I don't see any 10 series products, so maybe not actually.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Oh well. I mean, you could travel to maybe. Actually, most of the time you can order from UK sites.
Yeah, so if you're in the US, you're probably going to pay a premium to get it shipped.
Yeah.
But you will be able to get it. But again, there's different, like, again, I don't know how Galaxy or whatever you want to call them, where their regions are from, you know what I mean, like how that
split
works.
Split up, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of confusing actually, so in any case, talk about graphics cards. AMD confirmed that Vega will launch this quarter, which is good, because there's a lot of, you know, we've been talking about Vega for a while, and there's been a lot of thing about, okay, you know, where is it? Why haven't we seen it? Why? I mean, we've seen it, but
we kind of, it's almost just been, like, sort of mentioned and not mentioned, you know, because they've been on Polaris a whole bunch.
Yeah, so, mostly. This came from somebody commented on the AMD page on Facebook.
Which one, though, is the real question?
Yeah, I don't know what country this is from. So they were talking about Ryzen or something on the AMD page, and they said, when will Vega be ready? And an AMD rep replied saying, when it's ready, and it will be this quarter. So that's at least something we know. We're going to have a Vega launch this quarter.
Yeah.
And but again, if Q2 goes all the way through the end of June, so we could get it at the end of June, which is more than likely going to happen.
Yeah.
I guess
it'll be at Computex.
I'm guessing Computex, and then launch at the end of June officially, like be able to buy.
Yeah.
Probably. That's my guess.
We'll see when it's actually available.
Yeah. But that, you know, that's a good thing. I think that they're confident that they're going to get it out in Q2, which is good, because, you know, when it comes to these big launches, this is going to be a very big launch, because this is basically like their Ryzen launch for GPUs. This is this is a great segue to the next story.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, according to a bunch of people at AMD and everything, is that Vega is going to be on par with the GTX 1080 Ti and the Titan XP, which are currently the two fastest consumer graphics cards out there. So this is a big deal for them, because not only when it comes to performance, but drivers and everything like that, AMD hasn't been competitive with NVIDIA. They just haven't. And, you know, since forming the Radeon Technologies Group and really working on their drivers, they kind of have that solved. Now they kind of, with the RX 400 series and the 500 series, they're just, okay, here's for the mainstream. We're not focused on the high end yet. That's going to be Vega, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is less Ryzen to me than it is just.
Yeah, I think
business is huge.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't. I guess I'm kind of comparing to that because it's going to be a big deal for them, I think. But yeah. I think that, yeah, Ryzen was Ryzen because AMD was never competitive with Intel
for so long.
You know, AMD has tried to be competitive against Intel or against NVIDIA recently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this isn't that big of a deal. But I do think that they're taking their time with this and they're making it right. So again, as we talked about with Ryzen, it's good to have competition, right?
Yeah,
it's good to have the choice. If you're looking at a $600 to $800 graphics card, okay, I don't just have a choice of a 1080 Ti, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I have an AMD part that I could look at as well.
I kind of feel we have had an AMD choice, though.
Yeah, it's recently.
Yeah, kind of all along. It's been much closer. It was always kind of just the driver thing. And then with Fury, we thought it was their big time, and then it ended up not being as much of a jump.
That was such a hype train. I was on that hype train. I rode that hype train. I was like, that R9 Nano, like, I want one. I'm ready. Like, and I would have been so disappointed if I had one of those, to tell you the truth. So, yeah, I'm excited for this. I always like to see the competition. And
I don't think it's going to be faster than 1080 and Ti, though.
I think here's the thing is that this leads us into another story that, I think that so we have the 1080 Ti and the Titan XP, again, currently the two fastest graphics cards out there. We'll go from that, and then we'll have some Vega, the highest end Vega that you can get.
Yeah.
Will be slightly better. Slightly. Possibly.
I don't even think it will be.
It will have something. And then NVIDIA.
Well, it's going to have HBM too. So, it might have faster memory.
Yeah. Then NVIDIA is going to come out with Volta, the next quarter, which is the latest rumor. Well, this runs us into another one of our next stories, which you should be super happy about. This is finally everything that you wanted to come true. So, NVIDIA's Volta, that is their high-end graphics card solution that is based off HBM2 stacked DRAM, of course, that Derek has wanted forever.
Is it actually going to do HBM2? I thought wasn't there another tech that was is it stacked DRAM, not HBM2?
No, that's HBM2.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought there was another memory tech that was it wanted to sound like it was high bandwidth, but it's not actually.
I know GDDR6, there's another story this week about GDDR6, but that's not stacked.
I don't think I'm making this up in my head, but I can't give any more. Any more thoughts to it, so we can just move on from it. But
I mean, you could be right. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. But so the latest rumors are that Volta will launch in Q3 of this year. And it was originally, according to NVIDIA's own roadmaps, that it was going to launch in early 2018. But this might have been moved up. And again, if this rumor is true, if it's moved up, why is it moved up? Do they know something about Vega, that Vega could be slightly better, so they're gonna need to punch back with something else?
Seems a little bit quick.
It seems very quick because we just had
the Ti.
Yeah, you just got the Ti and you got the new Titan XP. It's like, what is the
deal? Do they even want to sell those cards?
I don't know. I think that everything's coming so fast. CPU and GPU market, everything, we're used to waiting, and we're like, okay, next year I'm going to get something. You would wait at least a year to get something new, and now it's like launch after launch after launch, which is good, but again, it kind of makes you...
Saturates the market.
It saturates the market, and it makes it okay, should I wait?
You should now. Yeah. And you're always going to feel like you have buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
I think it might be the nature of the beast at this point that they've accelerated their release cycle to the point where they can't back away from it because of the competition. They have to keep answering, but at the same time they're hurting themselves because the market's so saturated.
Yeah, it's like a, for them it's a lose-lose because especially with NVIDIA, we've seen them come out with a card and that's the card till next year, and not that they were ever bad cards. I mean, the GTX 970, that was the most popular card in the world for a year and a half. I mean,
because they just didn't have anything else. Yeah,
yeah.
And then the 1080 came out, and the 10 series came out, the whole series, and it was a really big deal.
Yeah, and now we're all and that if you think when did that launch?
It had to have been this time last year.
Yeah, so it's been a year, and we had the Ti. That's a different price range.
Maybe it's just us. Maybe it's just all the launches all together that we're just feeling like it's more.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sped up.
But I like it. I like getting things that I hear about, and you hear the rumors. I like being able to get those things faster. You know, we talked about certain things. I remember, and we talked about like even the other AMD cards. Like we talked about those for so many weeks. We talked about them, and then it finally came. And by the time it finally came, it was kind of like, you're getting outperformed. Like, you know,
yeah. Definitely you cannot be in development too long.
Yeah. So, talking about that brings us to our next story, which we'll move down to the super low end, which isn't exciting for a lot of people.
Go ahead and sign off here. See you later, guys.
But you know what's crazy is this is going to be one of their biggest markets for like e-cafes and things like that, surprisingly. Is that the NVIDIA's new GP108-300 GPU has been pictured, and this is the GPU that will power the GT1030. That is going to be under $100 or maybe $99, something like that, and that's going to go directly against AMD's brand new RX 550, which was $79, and a Pascal-based card. You know, 512 CUDA cores, 30 watts. Like,
hope you're not looking for a comment from me. I have nothing to say about this.
Yeah. But these lower end markets are big deals. They make up a good amount of the market share for NVIDIA and AMD. That's why they're making these chips.
They do. They do. It's just not interesting.
Yeah. For us, this isn't going to do anything for me. I'm not going to play any games on it. I don't want to try to play any games on it.
That sounds terrible.
I want at least, I mean, 1060 actually does some good stuff. I want at least a 1060. I'll take that 1080 Ti, though.
Yeah.
You know?
4K or die at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, you have that 4K monitor now, so you gotta be rocking the, you know, 4K games.
That's right.
So, we talked about the Volta. So, another cool launch this week, if you're into storage and you wanna...
I don't know how cool this is. It's interesting.
It's, okay, so it's not... It is the new version of Intel caching technology.
Yes.
Put it that way. So we've talked about Intel Optane for a while. If you're on the Z270 platform, you have access to it. That's how it works on the Z270 platform. And basically what it does... well, first, Intel made an Optane SSD that's extremely expensive. It is the DC-P4800X. It's an SSD, 375 gigabytes. $1,520.
Which, whole bunch of nope right there.
Yeah. Exactly. So the main point of Optane, really the real use case, and that those Optane based SSDs are made for enterprise. Yeah. The consumer application for this is an M.2 drive that's used to cache for a mechanical hard drive. So if you're some reason rocking a mechanical hard drive, which surprisingly a lot of people are,
I think you made that up.
It's here's the thing. If you have, say, $300, right?
Okay.
Your system's old.
Okay.
Are you going to buy a new graphics card or are you going to buy a new SSD?
Oh.
See, that's a tough choice because $300 can get you a good graphics card right now.
Yeah. Always go GPU.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. So you're going to rock your old hard drives. You know what I mean? Back to our story, because I was... So Intel is selling their Optane M.2 SSDs. They have a 16-gig version and a 32-gig version. So these go in your M.2 slot on your Z270 motherboard, and they act as a cache. And they're very, very fast. So basically, with the latest driver, it knows what stuff you're using the most, and it will save it on this cache drive, so up to 32 gigabytes. And... very fast. 1.4 gigabytes a second data transfer speed. Very, very fast.
Talk about an annoying product to have to review, though. You have to, like, spend time with it so it builds memory of what you actually use.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it does have its use case for older people. But again,
sure.
Here's the catch. It only works on Z270, right?
Yeah, so it's building a brand new system.
If you have Z270, which means that you bought your processor... and your motherboard. Well, you bought at least a Skylake processor, so a year ago.
Yeah.
So, are you really rocking a hard drive?
you really almost can't even save the money anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Drives are so inexpensive.
Yeah, so these aren't expensive. The 16 gigabytes is $45, and the 32 gigabyte is supposed to be $77. It's cool tech. I think it's cool tech, but I just think we're past that point.
You can get a solid state drive for $45 now, though.
Yeah, and I would rather have that.
Yeah,
you're gonna get between 300 and 500 megabytes a second.
Yeah.
This Optane drive will give you faster speed, but only for what's cached.
Yep.
And I would rather have the longer sustained read and writes that an SSD can do.
It really. I bet that you got your 4 terabyte drive. It's not gonna do a lot for that because, like, it's that smaller cache, and it's only gonna be the things you're using often.
Yeah.
So like the whole reason you have a giant, you know, hard drive like that is because you're using things. Not that often, but you know, you're storing stuff on there for long periods, I would imagine, and this isn't going to really help you with that.
Yeah, I think that Intel had the good thing when SSDs first came out, you know, like the 32 to 64 gigabyte SSDs that you could just use the smart tech. What is it called? I forget what that driver was called.
Are you talking about the? Is it a digital drive using the memory?
No. It's like you could just get a normal SSD, hook it up to your system as an SSD, and use it as a cache drive.
Oh, I never did mess with that.
Yeah, it's called Intel I think it's SRT, Smart Technology Drive, whatever. I totally forget because I haven't used it in so long. But that was this is the new version of that, and I just think we're, for the most part, we're past that time. Yeah. Nobody is rocking a new Z270 system with a bunch of hard drives.
I think that there is a place for this, potentially, and it's building it into the motherboard, and it's caching stuff for the whole system.
Yeah.
And not just for old hard drives.
Yeah. So, talking about
which is also actually system memory, so maybe there's no place for it.
Yeah, so with the launch of that, MSI is bundling a select few of their Z270 boards with these already. So if for some reason you're building a new system and you have a hard drive and you want this extra speed, you can get a couple of these MSI boards that come with this. It's obviously still a slight price increase over the normal price of the motherboard, but it's cheaper than buying the two separately.
Hmm.
So I think it's just a little marketing deal for them.
This sounds great to somebody who did no investigation and no homework.
Yes.
This is like, oh my, look at that thing. It's a piece of hardware too, right? It's not software. It's an extra free piece of hardware.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
This thing is going to be sweet.
The power of marketing.
I love it. Yes. It says includes free 16 gigabyte Optane drive.
That's so funny.
Just a modest price increase.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that much because the 16 gigabytes like $35. That's probably like a $5 to $10 increase.
Yeah,
maybe it's not. I mean, that's what the story said, but it could have been. I don't know.
Could be nothing.
Yeah. So that brings us to CPUs and benchmarks have surfaced of the upcoming Core i7-7740K Kaby Lake X processor. So we will see Kaby Lake X coming very soon. Sadly, Kaby Lake X is not the super high-end desktop, so it is a 4-core, 8-thread chip, and it's running on, again, Kaby Lake X is going to be high-end desktop, but it's not like your typical high-end desktop.
It's like high-end, low-end.
Yeah, because the chips are quad-core chips, so you're not going to get that crazy, you know, the Skylake X, which also is coming at the exact same time, which again doesn't make sense, is going to be 6, 8, 10 core.
Yeah.
And Kaby Lake X is going to be quad core, which I don't.
I'm.
When I initially heard that they're launching both Skylake X and Kaby Lake X at the same time, and one Skylake X is going to be the, you know, the real high end desktop, and Kaby Lake X is going to be built on that, but it's like not.
It's GIMP.
It's like. Basically, Kaby Lake X is like if you need PCI Express lanes and don't need the CPU power, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't
know. Because doesn't the CPU power help with managing all that extra bandwidth?
Yeah, and the thing is, if you go Skylake X, you have more downstream PCI Express lanes.
Anyways. Right.
you know. But the I first...
It'll put you on high-end desktop for less money, right?
Yes, it will. But the boards will still be the same price. Right. So they'll be X299, which is very close to the X399 that's supposedly coming from AMD. That's their high end desktop.
Like, don't get
it. All of these, like, if you think about it, in the last year, or like maybe 2 years, like AMD has slowly copied Intel on their naming scheme, yeah, and it was like
right on top of it.
Yeah, not only that, it's like the numbers were so close at one point, it's like you didn't know what you were buying.
That's the point, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. But in any case, the first benchmarks are out there, and they're just from Sandra, so it's nothing like super crazy. And again, this is just going to give you a slight boost over the 7700K, and I believe this will have quad channel memory, which is one of the pluses of getting the Kaby Lake X, is you get quad channel memory.
And I suppose if you go X299, like, you're gonna get more connections on the board.
Yeah, you're gonna get more stuff. So there, you will have more available PCI Express lanes. That gives you more room for M.2 slots, for U.2, for and typically, as we've seen, is the high end desktop will have, like, maybe some will have Thunderbolt 3. Maybe we'll have more USB 3.1. You know, like, there's just,
you could get a real workstation board.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole idea. So. So, first benchmarks are there. It's supposed to be coming quickly, because, again, we're doing this back and forth thing with AMD and different companies. It seems
I think they just made this chip up, to be honest.
Yeah,
just,
I think they did too.
They just pulled this out of thin air.
Yeah. So, talking about AMD, they have taken the price down $30 on their Ryzen 7 1800X. So, instead of $499, it is $469.
Yeah.
So, not bad. $30 off. Can't complain. I'm not sure why they did it. Maybe it wasn't selling well. Not sure.
Yeah. I'm a little curious. How are sales doing?
But the rest of the lineup has not been changed. So that's weird.
Huh.
Yeah. So the rest of the Ryzen 7 lineup and the entire Ryzen 5 lineup is not like you're getting price cuts throughout. So maybe they're just want more people to get on Ryzen.
Want to have that. Maybe just that storefront, that price tag, or, you know,
that
sticker shock, you know, bring that down just a little bit so that when you are actually, you know, happen to be comparing directly, you're like, well, this one is $469.
Yeah. So,
I still think, I don't think that it's that necessary. It seems odd to me because...
Yeah, it was weird. When I saw that story, I was like, it's a little early to be doing price...
Yeah.
Cuts. Like,
it's not smashing on games, and so it didn't
grab
all the market like everyone thought, but it's still for core performance.
Here's a thought. I think
it's still the one to get.
All right, so we have AMD high end desktop supposedly coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they release a part in that lineup that is around 500.
Oh, yeah.
And that basically would cannibalize the 1800X. That's a thought. It could be, you know,
it's even odd. It's odd to me that they're even launching a high-end desktop line because this part essentially is a high-end desktop part, other than the boards aren't.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what the high-end desktop prices are and what all the boards have because, again, with AMD, I have basically the top-end AM4 board from ASUS. It's a Crosshair 6 Formula or Hero, or what is it? I'm looking at Hero, sorry. And it still lacks a lot of features that my Z270 boards have. So,
let alone X299, dude.
Let alone an X99 board. Yeah. I would love to see features I see on X99 X399. All of these things are so bad. Yeah, they're so bad. It honestly makes me laugh. Like, it's hilarious. So I totally forget what our story was even. That's how bad, that's how funny I think all this is.
Board features.
Yeah, so I would love to see that. Hopefully we do. As I always say, I love competition when we actually really have it. So,
we'll see. They straight up were advertising, or, you know, benchmarking the 1800X against you know, Intel's high-end desktop parts.
Yeah.
And so, okay, 1800X, that is, you know, high-end desktop equivalent. Only it turns out it's not, and that's just sad.
Yeah. So, we'll see what the high-end desktop does. I would love to see, you know...
Do you think it'll just be about the same part, chip-wise? They'll just have motherboards that are more capable?
And I'm thinking we'll see a 16-core, 32-thread.
Okay.
I'm pumped for that. I like that. I like my cores.
Yeah, I'm sure we will actually.
Yeah, I think because that is obvious. That was already announced. The Naples CPU will be 16 core, 32 thread. We know that. But
that was
all
the server part, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the server part. But all of the rumors and everything that I've heard is that the AMD high end desktop will have a 16 core, 32 thread high end desktop part. So I'm pumped for that. I love my cores. So that's like an encoder's dream.
Yes.
And at an AMD price.
Yeah.
Which is even better because, you know, when you move over to the Intel side, you're looking at a lot of money for a part like that.
Yeah, you're getting wrecked.
Yeah, so let's get back to our news because we're getting far off topic, even though I actually feel like we're geeking out hard on this, so I like it. So SK Hynix has announced their 8 gigabit GDDR6 memory chips. So these are the world's fastest.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, graphics DDR4 DRAM. So this is the announcement. They won't be commercially available till early 2018. We'll see cards based on this. So there have been things that Volta might be there might be like HBM2 versions of cards and GDDR6 versions of cards. GDDR6 would be less expensive. I don't know. But the announcement means that these are like created and they'll be ready for mass production by the end of the year.
Yeah. They probably have working samples of
them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely have working samples by now. So these are faster and twice as fast as GDDR5 and a 10% lower operation voltage. So, yeah.
Cool. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I like to hear twice as fast. It's a good claim.
Yes. So we have that, and we've talked about this in the past. So basically, was it maybe a year and a half ago? I would say a year and a half ago.
No, I don't remember.
What's the high-end AMD card? The one that needed the cooler?
Fury X.
Fury X came out. It had an integrated AIO water cooling solution. That water cooling solution was provided by Cooler Master. That's
there's a mistake.
That product used patents or products based on patents that were owned by Asetek. And if you don't know, Asetek makes like everything. The NZXT Krakens. They make the what's the Corsair one?
The whole series.
Yeah, the H series, so like H100, H whatever.
Yeah, all their water coolers. Pretty much, Thermaltake.
A good majority of the AIOs you buy, made.
Even if it's not made by them, they're licensing stuff from them.
They're licensing the technology. Yeah. So basically, Cooler Master made this cooler, custom made for AMD to cool down the Fury card. And it infringed on the patents owned by Asetek. Asetek took them to court and, like, was going to really, like, kill them. Not kill them, but a lot more money. But then Cooler Master appealed it. And the jury finally awarded Cooler Master, awarded Asetek $600,000. which I feel like they're just getting away with robbery.
Basically.
Because basically, they got paid by AMD to build this out. And how much per unit they were getting, who knows. But I would assume that it's well over $600,000.
Yeah. Are you sure this was the graphics card?
Yes.
Okay. Because they also got in trouble for the standalone AIO.
Yeah, it might have been both. But with the graphics card, there was rumors and they were talking about that they were going to put a stop order on AMD for even...
Oh, that is right, yeah.
Yeah,
in fact,
so,
I think they did pull units, didn't they?
I don't remember. It was a big deal, though. That was, like, the year of the big deal. That was, like, the 970.
Yeah.
It's 3.5 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, and then this whole thing happened. It was, like...
They They were on it right away, though.
Yeah.
The products had barely launched.
Yeah, it was like right after launch it happened.
Yeah.
So 600K, I think Cooler Master got away with highway robbery, basically.
Yeah.
They had to make millions on this at least on the AMD. Whatever you want to call it, contract.
Where I bet it falls apart is where they like tried Cooler Master's lawyers, you know, kind of tear apart like how much of the actual sales was due to the cooler or whatever, and they're probably whittling way down.
Yeah, because they did.
Most of the check is from most of the sale figure is from the card, you know, and the cooler has very little to do with it.
Yeah, so the original jury awarded damages representing 14.5% royalty on the sales of that. So 14.5% of that contract plus possibly the AIO sales, which I assume is more than 600K.
I would think so.
Because they did appeal that, and then it got down to 600 grand. So that just shows you could steal a product and get away with it. I don't know. but it's good to see justice. Our good friend Rob works at Ace Attack, so it's good to see them get to that.
Yeah.
Yes. And that brings us to our last story, and this is a good one for me because this is a game that I grew up on. 20 years after its original launch, StarCraft is 100% free from Blizzard. So you can go to the website and download it and play it for free. They haven't like made it like compatible with like 4K. Like I haven't done anything to it. It's the original game.
But they are actually doing that to it.
Yeah, they are eventually.
They are. No, they're working on it right now actually.
Okay.
They're remastering it.
Okay.
Yep.
But it's free. So if you love that game, if you want to play it, maybe 800 by 600 max res, which you can do. It's one of the games I grew up on. It's one of the, I would say, founding RTSs, really?
It's the founding RTS.
I mean, there was Warcraft before it. For competitive play, yes. This is the founding game for competitive RTS play, especially StarCraft. When StarCraft 2 came out, it like changed the game. Yeah. One of my favorite games of all time, I would say. I spent hours playing this. So you can go to the website. We have it linked in the article. You can go ahead and download and play for free, which is cool. So I think it would actually be cool to play through it. I always loved the campaigns in StarCraft, actually. And I would totally play through it again.
Yeah.
So guys.
Give it a crack.
Yes. That brings us to the end of our news here. And talking about what we have next week, I will be doing my review of the Primochill Praxis Wet Bench. Not going to talk about it all that much, but basically I love this test bench, wet bench, whatever you want to call it. It's a test bench kind of designed for water coolers in mind. I'm using it with an AIO, which I love, and it works great. And it's the best test bench that I've owned. This will be my third test bench that I have, so it is the best one so far. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then Corsair is launching a mouse on what day? I'll tell you. What day is the 4th? On Thursday. So I can't tell you what kind of mouse or the name of the mouse. But it is launching. They are launching a mouse on Thursday. We'll have the review. So that is what's coming next week. We might have some more stuff. I've been trying to get a lot of stuff done around the home office, getting everything really set up to shoot a lot of video. I shot so much video this weekend. I'm still not happy with it, man. Like, just like not happy with how things are coming out, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it's just like I showed you guys the backdrop that I made and everything. And I don't know if it's just I'm not sure. I'm just like, you know when like you shoot or like you shoot a photo and you're like, oh, I just don't like, you know what I mean?
I do.
You
also send me pictures of your setup.
Yeah, I'll have to say, but that's kind of been I have so much stuff shot, so much video shot, a lot of video content that I want to put out, but I just haven't because I'm not happy with it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole reason that it hasn't been done. So,
yeah.
I'm working on it. It's going to be to like where you know what you're going to see when you see a Think Computer's video. That's kind of what I'm going for.
Yeah.
And I'm just not there yet. And it's just hours and hours of, and like getting the right hardware. Like I have this microphone, which is supposed to be a really great microphone, but I hate it. That's a whole other story that we will talk about another time. You know, and all this stuff. So we talk about what we did. Did you do anything fun this week? It has been nice.
It has been nice. Of course, rode my bike and stuff.
Nice.
I've actually played a video game, though.
Yeah, in our group chat, you were talking about this new game. What is this new game?
It's not super new. It's been around, but I got on it now. It's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and it's a 100-person free-for-all. If you've seen Hunger Games, the movie, then you know what this game is, essentially.
Okay, it's just basically...
It's just get dropped in, you airdrop in, and you run around and try to kill everybody until you're the last
What's
one.
What's the typical match length?
You either basically get shafted right away, and you're done in, like, 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or the longest I've gone is probably, like, a half hour or so.
Now, once you die, do you have to wait till the round's over?
No, you just log out. It's in alpha right now, or early access.
Okay.
And it's kind of bad.
Yeah, you were complaining a lot in the... Yeah.
So it's not a big deal when you die, right? Because it's really like luck of the draw, because everybody drops from the airplane where they want, and then you parachute down, and you have to run and find a gun, right? And then it's as quickly as you can kill somebody a lot of times, you know? And so somebody's going to lose. But then you have to log out of your game, go all the way back to the game menu, choose to start a new multiplayer match, and then it searches, loads you into a loading menu, or a loading game, and then you run around in there for a couple minutes, and then you finally go back in.
Okay.
And to me, I'm used to playing, like, games where, you know, you spawn, you die, you spawn, you die.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, like, the competitiveness of it, like... I win one match, but then I'm not in the same match anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you like to see that leaderboard where I have so many kills, like I've done this.
Oh,
I've
yeah,
done that.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah, so that's, for me, like the, yeah. I like those type of games, because like, if I'm crushing it one day, like I want people to see that I'm crushing it. Yeah. You know, I guess they could have something like, this is the highest place that I've got. I've got this place so many times type thing.
I'm pretty sure there's like global rankings and stuff.
Okay.
But... yeah, it's hard.
It looked like it. I've seen some people on Twitch play it, and you had been complaining, so our buddy Oz was complaining about it as well.
It's hard. It's like addicting. Like, you want to get on and you want to give it a shot, but like, man, it's hard.
Yeah, because you are the BF4 guy who's still had been playing BF4, and when you told me you were playing a new game, I was very surprised. Yeah. A new shooter, I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was playing until last week. I just decided no more. So I just had to uninstall it and get on this. But this is not quite the replacement I was hoping for.
Yeah, I haven't... I've been playing some Gears of War. I've been playing a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
That's about it. I haven't really been playing anything else. It's getting too nice out to like sit inside. Oh, you guys on the West Coast, you don't know about this, but we only have like 3 months of nice weather. So
you go out and you enjoy it.
Yeah, you go out and you enjoy it. So this whole week I have been trying to figure out this home studio thing for the most part. I went out today and went to this place where there's waterfalls and stuff, but I've been trying to figure out this home office, and I'm not happy with it. So I don't know. Have to figure it out. But guys, we will end the podcast here. We thank you for listening. Sorry for kind of going off on tangents, but I think we had a lot of fun. I think we really geeked out this episode, so that's really actually awesome. Derek and I love talking about tech, and we try to be here every week. We've been kind of skipping weeks because we've both been kind of busy. Derek has a lot going on, as do I. But we will have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So when we talk about these products or these news stories, you can click through and you can read even more about it and get more information. And on all of your favorite podcasting software, it's Think Computers, all one word. Go ahead and subscribe if you can, and we'll catch you guys later.